There are some unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And yep. Most regrettable.
Let's do it. Let's launch right into this B. Back after 3 weeks of not recording, it is the Regrettable Podcast, episode one something. I don't remember, 60-something, 70-something, who knows, who cares?
Who cares?
We rolling straight here.
I wonder if there's somebody that's like keeping up with exact every number. It's like,
actually,
oh, can't wait.
I left it in one of the last episodes where I referenced the episode number. I was like, I was 20 off or whatever it was.
Actually.
I want to ask you said in episode 76 about this.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yes. Don't ever that come guy. At me See, with
I
that.
I looked it up, and it's actually like this.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah. Back from vacation, our own Jay Lindley. Yes. I've been stressing on what to do with my vacation. I have no idea, you know. And we'll get to you in a
well,
second,
it's,
all right?
It's not as good as Michigan.
Yeah. All right. Patrick's sewn up. Jay's got his vacations lined out. I'm like... I have a few different options, and it's just what level of asshole do I want to be to my family? Like, it's like just a little bit, a lot, or like, you know, don't come back, you're not welcome back, that type of thing. Yeah. So I got to find somewhere to do it. You know, I was thinking
like you're kind of primed for it a little bit. I mean, you were supposed to pull the asshole move last year.
It's true.
To Alabama, and you didn't. You threw your family a bone.
Yeah, took them
and drug them along. Yeah. Lucky.
Yeah.
You better feel lucky.
It was just then, you know how like you might do something fucked up before you start a job or something, and then you're all good. It's like now I'm a year into the job. Now I can't do that fucked up thing, or else it's gonna,
the honeymoon period's over.
It's all work and business now.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. It's like I'm thinking about just taking like, you know, a few days off around a weekend and just camping at Broken Bow Lake for that time, you know, which would be good. But that's still a level of throwing, like, you know, Allie, I have to like pick Miles up or drop him off, pick him up. You know, all that. It's a lot of work. Right.
But still, I mean, at that point, you're 45 minutes away. If something happens, you can be there and I'm pretty quick to help out. No. Okay, you're gone. Dead to the
it's
world.
Called, it's called vacation.
Might as well be on Pluto.
Yeah, exactly.
Or think some other thing that used to be a planet.
Yeah, think of me as dead. and then, of course, the show. Okay, what about a staycation then? You know, where I can still help out, pick up Miles. But, like, if the show needs, like, you know, like...
Ain't what is cracked up.
It's terrible. Like, you will always waste it.
Yeah, all hyping up the staycation during COVID and stuff. Staycation bullshit,
it
man.
Sucks.
I promise you, you spend more money on a staycation than you do
that's probably
on
true.
A frickin' vacation. 100%.
If you get just far enough away that you can still feel like you're not in at home, staycation. At home staycation, you always end up working. Like you said, you always end up wasting.
Yes, 100%. Wasting it, working on it, and then like you know, it's like 9 p.m. on a Tuesday night, and you're just at home.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You don't work Wednesday. You start to probably feel like, what am I doing? Yeah. Like I'm just go to bed.
You're gonna end up renting $1,000 in movies. during the week, or instead of being somewhere and enjoying all the things, you keep driving every day to go enjoy
to go
the things. And you're getting eaten alive by fuel costs.
Fuel costs. Biden.
Thanks,
Biden. Yeah, Biden ruined the staycation.
I did that. I love those stickers.
Hey, yeah, I did that.
Gas station. I did that.
Yeah, staycations on some bullshit. You at least want to be away. You know, I'm renting a hotel for a week, 20 minutes away.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I tell you what, though, my wife and I have to, not since we've had a child, but we would do it every once in a while, like in a random day in the week, just like get one of the local motels, you know, and just go stay there for the night. And you felt like you were out doing something. Then you at least you got HBO. Okay. And
as a 20 something, I did that.
Yeah.
And I was, that was cool. It was like, I'm out. I'm still away from the home.
Yeah.
We kept bringing back bed bugs,
probably.
Though. And and having to deal with that. So we're like, let's not do that anymore. So.
Yeah.
What's this rash?
That's scabies, kid.
I get just enough service.
Scabies.
That
sounds nasty.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
It's like a mite. I knew somebody.
Yeah?
And they died.
Not from that. That's a bad case of scabies. Got hit by a train.
Years later.
Yeah. But maybe if they had, if they like hadn't had scabies, they wouldn't have been in the position where they got hit by the train.
Absolutely, I think about that all the time.
Exactly.
Like whenever I'm doing something I don't want to be doing or anything, I'm like, what if I had just
made a different decision, shucked instead of jive
exactly. or whatever?
You might have died.
Butterflies died that way.
Yeah.
Butterflies making wind over.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Egypt or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot something at work yesterday and I had to turn around and then so I grabbed it and then on the way back somebody literally, there was like two semi trucks and a car in between and the car got into the other, into my lane and at the last minute got back in between the two pickup trucks. And I was like, you know, I could have died because I totally forgot.
My phone or whatever.
Yeah. What was it? It was my vape pen. It was, that's what it was. Yeah, that would have, how sorry with that at the pearly gates.
Yeah.
You know, been like, you know, if you didn't smoke, if you hadn't back when you were 18 bought that pack of cigarettes.
That's what it was.
Yeah. You wouldn't have needed the vape to quit the smoking.
If you would have just not smoked at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
You would have come out of your SeaWorld trip not smoking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, you'd be dead some other way by then.
I mean, it was like I was like, I wasn't scared, really. I shouldn't say that, but I was pissed. I was definitely pissed. I was like, you could have killed me. All right. Yeah. You ever had like,
oh, of course.
You could have killed me.
100%.
Could have killed me.
Not like, oh my God, you could have killed me.
Don't you see my empty car seat?
Yeah, it could have been a baby potentially on board.
Potentially on board. You never know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get just enough service at Broken Bow Lake where if somebody's like, we need you, I could text back, be like, I don't have any service.
Yeah.
Well, then how did you get this? And then just go dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was on top of a mountain when I saw that.
Yeah.
I must have pinged them. Yeah. Boom. Hit them all. I got one text out. That's right. And then my phone died.
Yeah. But, bro, BB, like, that's most likely. That's most likely what it's going to be. 100%. I mean, just hammock camp at Broken Bow Lake for like four nights or something.
That'd be cool.
As alone or as with many people as one available. Of
the just kind of come and go.
Yeah, come and go.
Yeah.
Leave it set up. Although the last time I went, that's what it was.
Take the boat. And just go out to the island.
Yeah. The last time I went and solo camped at Broken Bow Lake was just a few weeks ago. Set up. And I texted you. Patrick was like, I might make it out. I might not. And I was like, it's all good. I think you were. I think it was while you were leaving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're in the Caribbean.
Yeah. You know,
I was doing
Jay, if your boat finds yourself all of a sudden Broken Bow Lake, a cruise ship. Whoa. Yeah. You know, invite me up. Throw the T-shirt line down. Exactly. I'll make my way.
Send you a text. Probably to cost you like $120 or something.
And so I texted Patrick. I said, I'm not sure if you're coming or not, but bring me smokes. I was out of smokes, which is bad news, you know. So I was like,
how did you let that happen?
I don't know. I bought two packs and then I was like, I was down to half a pack, you know, I was like, okay, you know, or I think I bought two packs that morning.
So
I smoked through work and then and then more work and then getting ready. I was, you know, if you're a smoker and you've ever prepared for a camping trip, everything you bring out to your car, truck, smoke, you know, beer, smoke, like, you know.
Makes it take five times as long.
Exactly. And then, so anyway, I left Broken Bow to go into, or the lake to get into Hochatown to find some smokes. And I found some, and then I was there, and I was like, is there like, because all I had brought out was weenies. I brought out hot dogs or whatever, or like brats, whatever it was, you know, some dick-shaped piece of meat. I was like, you know what? I didn't bring a steak because I was just trying to keep it low-key, but now I definitely want a steak.
Right.
You know? And I was like, is there anywhere in Hochatown without having to drive to Broken Bow? Like, I asked the
Mountain Man Meat Market, I guess that may be closest.
Oh.
That's just outside of Broken Bow, though.
Yeah, that's pretty... Yeah. Right there, halfway in between where you
were. Beaver's Bend, maybe.
So I asked the local, haberdasherist or Easy Mart employee, whatever you want to call it, like, and they were like, bleh. Like, yeah, they gave me, like, no answer. So I was like, okay, I'll just drive.
Got some in our freezer section.
I just drove Hochatown for a second. Was like, there's nothing, you know, there's nowhere to get a steak.
Yeah, it's
in
not
Hochatown.
Like grocery store.
There's not,
yeah.
That would make a killing, like a little, you remember that grocery store on Dolphin Island?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, they could put one of those in Hochatown. that just stocks the bare minimum cheap ass produce.
Yeah, 10 times what you would find just like 10 miles down the road.
Oh, yeah, dude. Charge $10 for an onion. You know, like they would make a killing doing that. Like just little New York strip steaks, like $37 on the, you know what I mean? Like buy it from
Walmart. I bet
you could
have made it to Beaver's Bend. I mean, I don't know why. We got lots of listeners that have no idea where or what the hell we're talking about. But Swamp Booger Mercantile probably.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
Something about the Booger Mercantile part makes me not want to buy a steak from there.
Swamp Booger.
Yeah.
Swamp Booger.
Yep.
So if I
pulled a few of those.
Yeah, for sure. All the time. So if I do that, I'll come well equipped, I think, you know, without really having to leave much except for the odd.
You're doing a staycation, man. Yeah, it'd take you $1,000 worth of shit, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
That would have been spent going or renting an Airbnb for a week or like Broken Bow Lake's free to me, you know. No tent. You see a tent?
Yeah.
All right. Who's to say I'm here past? Yeah.
I like it.
You know, I'll pay. I'd pay if they found me. But
right.
You know, and then
you're in a less inhabited area.
Yeah.
You're not going
exactly
to the main spots.
Yeah. And also, it's like all the Texans take care of that. Like, they're my little chump change, my local chump change. They want the Dallas money. So,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. The Texans can't bring 32-foot campers down there to the spot that we've gone to, you know. So yeah, it's never inhabited. Yeah.
Right.
It's hard to haul a gas grill down that area.
Yeah. You just leave it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Most people do.
We've seen it. And then, like, but the idea of, like, being on an incline for 4 days at the same time, like, finding a flat surface, be like, oh, you know, because it's as comfortable as I try and make it, it's an uncomfortable spot.
I was going to say, you forget how important being on level surface is. Because most of the surfaces we, as regular human beings in homes, businesses, they're all level surfaces. Yeah. Even streets, it may be sloped to one side, but the street itself is pretty level, you know.
You'd be just wishing for a parking lot.
Yeah.
Like when you're camping, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And especially that spot, it's all downhill.
And
it's
rocky.
Rocks.
Oh, man.
You know, I'd want to, like, set up.
You definitely feel like you're, because the lake's there, you got the rocks, you got the woods right there.
Yeah.
You definitely feel like you are roughing it to an extent,
a
right?
A little bit,
spot,
yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I love that area.
Yeah, me too. My favorite part of the whole time I ever solo camped there is when I'm always swimming when the sun disappears past the horizon. It turns all, you know, pink. And that's when I know to get up and start the fire that I had pre going.
Right.
And then I never even dry off. I just sit there and let the fire kind of, and like as
cool.
The sun sets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I sit there. Oh, man, it's so good. And there's nothing better than, like, driftwood fire. You know the way it burns?
It's bright. It's smokeless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it burns hot.
It burns hot. Yep. So I think, you know, who knows?
It'll go quick.
Yeah, it does go quick.
I know we can't talk about this right in the middle because we'll lose Patrick, but, man, do you see the fights Saturday night?
I did, too. Man.
Oh, my goodness.
They were pretty – overall, I thought it was a terrible card.
Right.
Like, overall as a card, but then the last three fights were all pretty decent, you know.
And went the way I expected them.
Mm-hmm.
I made some money off of those.
What did you think of the guy who broke his arm? Did you think that should have been stopped? I think that should have been stopped.
Yeah, I thought it was appropriately stopped, for sure. The elbow, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
I saw a lot of people online going,
"He couldn't. He couldn't maneuver it after they stopped it. He set up. He couldn't." So
his arm was broke.
Exactly.
So
that means doctor stoppage. You can't. You know,
exactly.
This ain't a street fight, like fight to the death.
Exactly.
I mean, that'd be different.
Mad,
he
was mad.
I'll fight to the death
mad.
With a broken arm.
He was. He was planning on it.
Yeah, he was trying to.
He was trying.
And you see on Kevin Holland's face, like, he's like,
I'm going to do it.
Dude, I'm going to
do other one,
I'm
going to
do it. Yeah.
You can see it in his eyes. He's like, he didn't say the words, but you could see I'm about to do it.
And
then he's like, okay.
Wrench it this way.
And
over
it's
his,
like, I mean, it's, not that bad, but it's like that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad.
It was bad. And then the
sounds like he's very professional about it. He's like, dude, you know. And the guy's
I'll take it.
You go ahead and break my arm now. They'll stop the fight. Mm-hmm. I get a quick breath, and then I'll finish the fight with you,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
have another chance. I don't know if that was the strategy.
Maybe. Of course, that could have been.
Could have been.
Yeah. But, like, I'm not tapping. You can rip my arm off. I'm not tapping.
Tyler was
talking
about, if you ever seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, the knight who gets his arms cut off and then his legs cut off, and he's still wanting to fight everybody afterwards. Yeah.
Just I'll bite you.
Yeah. It's just a flesh wound.
Just a flesh wound.
Yeah, and then the second fight, or the second fight that I watched, I started at the Kevin Holland fight, and then the second fight I watched was Sean Strickland, who he always says fight to the death. I'm a fight to the death kind of guy, but then he really might be one of the most boring fighters in the UFC, honestly.
Okay, I'm sorry, but it looked like me and my brother fighting in the front, like with the front kicks
trying to hold each other down and spit in their face.
Yeah, this part, the knees to block bizarre. A kick and the knees.
It worked
for
really
him for sure.
Well,
but I felt like a front yard brawl between me and my brother with that one.
He had the high knees going.
But he couldn't do nothing about it.
Donald Trump showing up.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Neat.
Yeah,
and he if I'm not mistaken, he debuted his TikTok account on that walkout. It was funny. It was kind of you're on TikTok now. Okay.
Yeah, and then the last fight with Islam and Dustin. That's a fight that makes you forget how shitty the card is.
Exactly.
I've seen 100 cards where it's terrible up until the main event, and then you're like, "This is the best card ever, dude."
So wanted Dustin to win so bad.
Oh yeah, me too.
Bad.
I didn't give him going past first round.
I didn't give him going five.
Yeah. And then he gets into the fifth round with a full,
But he lost, right?
He did.
He definitely lost the fight.
He got choked out.
Gotcha. I mean, even if it had gone all like completely,
I would have given it.
He still lost.
Islam. Yeah. But like, just the fact that because Islam was meant to just crush him like a bug, Dustin ain't going out like that. Yeah. He's got an odd build and frame for a lightweight guy. I don't know what his arm span is. I don't think it's, or his wingspan. I don't know if it's any, but it looks like when he has the gloves on and the shorts, it looks like he could not bend over and tickle his toes.
Right.
Like his arms.
It reminds me of the punching game.
Oh yeah. Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
His style kind of reminds me of that.
He's got gorilla arms.
Yeah.
He
can touch the ground while standing.
Yeah. He's dragging his knuckles. Yeah. Yeah. They look so long, his arms. And then, that was a great fight for sure.
I enjoyed it.
Really, really good.
But you're right. That makes sense. That fight made it the rest of the card not seem as bad. Although some of the prelims were pretty good too. I watched all of them.
There was a couple.
Yeah,
not a single knockout or TKO on the whole thing.
Weird.
The whole thing. Some good subs though. Yeah. And then in 2 weeks, July 22nd is a free fight night that weirdly is more stacked than any of the rest of the pay-per-views that I can see as far as this year.
Interesting.
It's crazy. It's free.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm watching that for sure. And it's an afternoon one, so I'm down.
Nice.
I'm watching that.
Overseas in Brazil or something like that?
I don't know where they're doing it.
Okay.
I don't know where they're doing it. But I don't know why they're doing it. It's at 2 p.m. the main card starts, so that's my kind of fight night right there, fight day.
I don't know where.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't know how.
Can I ask you about the new thing that you got going on, or do you really not want to talk about it at all?
I guess I can talk about it.
Because Patrick's doing
very
big things.
Regrettable. Very regrettable.
Yeah.
So you are editing
the
newspaper.
We got the newspaper. Sorry. We bought the newspaper publisher. Back. No. Yeah. Radio's just not exciting enough for
gotcha.
Me.
Gotcha.
So, he's the acting publisher.
So, what's more dynamic than a weekly newspaper in a small community? I mean, come on.
Absolutely. No,
yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. No.
It's good stuff.
It's fun. I feel like it's a great compliment to the radio. The radio is still going to be my primary, like, this is what's happening today. Hey, there's a tornado warning, like, right now. It's about to hit you in the face,
it's the police. Like Twister, Bill Paxton. Yeah. It's coming. It's already here, man. It's already here.
Yeah. It is kind of cool. It's very cool having these two unique forms of media that I get to do now. Like the instantaneous, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing more dynamic than radio. Like it's instant. Like even Facebook or social media, you still got to be like actively, you got to be like right there refreshing the page and stuff. Radio, it's right. You got the tuner dialed in, man. Mm-hmm. It's right there, you know? And then your community newspaper is more like, it's laid back. know, I don't plan it. I don't plan on having like hard hitting breaking news come through. Through that, I mean, if it happens,
exactly.
If it happens, but if it's like, you know what, you had a little feature stuff, you want to hear about some awesome people in your community. Well, the local newspaper is a place to go.
We
live in a small town. I'm not going to talk for broken, but there's always some wild, interesting stuff happening over here. But like little sleepy towns, you know, where you don't have breaking crime all the time, and or breaking news like big crime stories and mayors getting absconded with city funds, things like, you hope that stuff isn't happening anyways. Yeah. That if you don't have that, then you need to focus more on that community kind of journalism.
Driver for the past 50 years is retiring.
Right. Yeah. And some of the story, like everybody knows, like somebody rode the school bus and now their grandkids are riding that same school. But that's a great idea. I'm gonna steal that idea. I know the school bus driver, but
is he blind?
and a lot of those things just don't translate well to the radio. You know, I've tried some feature stories, but I mean, they might be like 6-7 minutes long, one story. You know, I'm asking a lot for the listener to keep track of all that. You know, it needs to be quick and fast paced on there, and I totally understand. That's that medium. You know, so it's interesting to put it together, and you know, I had too much free time as it is, so why not get rid of all of it that? So yeah, this was like Tuesday. I was definitely thinking like, what the hell have I done? Why did I ever agree to this?
I haven't seen Patrick since Memorial Day.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm also like, well, I know the paycheck will be coming soon and that'll make things feel a lot better. And then like today when I get to look at it and took it around to a few different people this morning, like, oh my God, love it. You know, it looks great.
I could tell I think it was your wife's post on Facebook that the community is very much excited to have it back.
I hope so. That's going to pump. They get pumped up. That's going to pump me back up. Yeah. It's a reciprocating kind of thing. You know, I'm excited about it, and I'm going to try to. I'm really working mentally on how to schedule everything in, because here's the thing, and it's really come to the forefront of my mind these last few days. It's like my daughter is in this stage where she is just such a blast to be. She's my favorite person right now,
right?
You know, and it's funny. Kills me to think
like. We're like opposite right now. I was like, I don't want to be honest right now, dude. He is pissing me off.
How old is he?
Almost 20 months, or I guess he'd be 20 months
coming
now.
Up on terrible twos.
Oh my God,
getting into
everything.
He's
a toddler now. Is he all grown up?
Is he arguing with like? Any of that yet?
He doesn't talk still, so that's a big issue. You know, I mean, like he can't relay his feelings or what he's thinking. So I don't know, dude. I don't know what he wants. I don't know what you want.
But he's a toddler, so he thinks you should just figure it out, right?
Yeah.
At 20 months going on like 13.
Yeah. Every little thing just is the most dramatic tantrum, you know. Like he was walking around, you know, the little juice box, the thing that holds the straw, the little plastic straw bag thing, you know, he was holding that, and I was like, oh, let me get that from you, buddy. And it was like 30 minutes of just like whatever, dude, whatever.
At some point, like I find myself frustrated in those situations, like like the other day, Mariah loves frozen popsicles. I got some at the store. I took her grocery shopping, and she was like, what's that? And I was like, it's popsicles. Let's get them. And then we get home. She's like, give me a popsicle. And I'm like, baby, we gotta freeze them first, you know? Yeah. And huge tantrum. Yeah. Nothing calmed her down. I was just like desperately. I was like, I wish I had some dry ice or something that I could insta-freeze those things. So it was a
nitrogen.
Big thing.
Yeah.
Then she finally got one. She was great. And then the next day, of course, we get home. She's like, popsicle. I'm like, okay. So I give her one. She's like, she doesn't like the color. She was like, wants the other one. I give that one to her. Doesn't want that one. And then I give her one she finally likes, you know. And these things, you have to like cut them open. So I got all like, I was eating all the rest of them or whatever. And I was getting so frustrated. And I was like, you know what? This is actually pretty hilarious. Yeah. I was like, you scream as much as you want. You ain't bothering me. Like, this is hilarious to me that somebody, that a human being, regardless of whatever age you are, that a human being could be so irate over the color of their popsicle.
I'm trying not to give Miles that choice. Like, I'm gonna be like, you keep acting. I'm gonna get the gray ones.
Yeah.
All right. And those will be the only ones available to you.
It's like poor,
the
like,
white ones.
Yeah, yeah.
The coconut ones.
Yeah, yeah. Coconut. That's all you get.
Garbage. Gruel popsicles.
Yeah, gruel.
Yeah. And it's a similar that she's getting in this like picky stage. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun one day. I picked her up and we were in her bedroom and she was like, oh. I was changing her. I was like, all right, let's put your shorts on. She's like, nah, I don't want a shorts on. I was like, all right, be naked, whatever you want. You know, you got to wear a diaper because you do piss all over the floors when you're not wearing one. You ain't house broke yet, but
rubber face in it.
She was like, I want to wear a dress. And we stood there probably for the next hour. She was like, I want that dress. And I put it on her and she would immediately like take it off. And she's like, no, I want that one. For like an hour, I mean, we probably went through 20 different dresses. And I thought it was funny until Mama gets home and she's like, what are y'all doing? And I was like, oh, she's just cycling through all her dresses. Playing dress up. And she was like, what are you doing? She's like, she's doing this to me every morning. And it's a huge freak out in the mornings. Cause I got it. Like, she's trying to get ready. She's trying to get the baby ready.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the two of them in the morning come at the radio station. And every morning I have this huge tantrum from her because I got to tell her, no, we're not changed. This is the one outfit you get today.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here tearing down all this stuff.
Tearing it down. Yeah.
Just having a fun time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we're just having fun, like, babe. What?
Yeah. I was like, I was in trouble for it, you know?
Yeah.
But she's starting to realize. Like, she's starting to realize I'm the fun one. Like, the wife does such a good job of being the fun one, but I'm still, like, the goofier one.
And oh, yeah.
I think she's starting to come around.
Moms are all
side.
Business.
Yeah.
Moms do all the business, you know.
Especially with daughters.
Yeah. We went out to a Mexican restaurant, and Mariah, she wanted some queso. So Patrick took her former salsa bowl and put queso in it, and there was a little red, you know.
Oh, she hated that.
And she was like, but it took you guys just a little bit to figure out, like, okay, so it's the fact that there's a little salsa in the queso. Right. So, like, let's get a fresh bowl. And she finally was like, I mean, I'm talking like, and then the fresh queso.
I had to take her outside. And
had to take her outside. Then the fresh queso go like, ooh, chippy. Like, it was like, it was like an immediate, like, just turning the faucet off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Dip, you know, and like right into it. Like, no problem, you know? Kids be fickle, man.
So fickle.
Yeah. Sick of this, you know, and Miles is at the stage where he really, does Mariah feed herself with a fork?
She does, yeah.
Yeah, so Miles is there, and I guess he does not, I haven't spoon-fed him any food in what feels like a week, and if I try to, he freaks out. He wants to, but he sucks at it.
He wants to do it himself.
Yeah, but he's really bad, and I don't have all night to sit there watching you try and eat. You know, whatever it is I make you, like, so, like, even if I try and, like, take the fork and put, like, help him guide it into a piece of something, you know, so I just end there sit and watch him, like, fail over and over again. I just don't have that patience. I really don't.
Yeah.
I want instant results. I want you to be instant. Whenever I'm not instantly good at something, I don't do it anymore.
Right.
You know? So he keeps trying. And I'm sick of it.
Use your hands, buddy.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, dude. Exactly. Just dive in, man.
Let me tell you what I got.
Faced a bowl.
Mariah home yesterday. We got it. That cat somehow mysteriously showed up at her house like a week ago. Kitten. I was instantly like, get out of here, yelling at it, throwing it, you know, trying to get it out. That wasn't throwing it, but trying to scare it away.
Throwing rocks at it.
And it was shooting at it, you know,
it wouldn't leave.
Just a wound.
Yeah,
all right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it has a very cute little kitten, and I don't know, the dog loves it, and the wife loves it, and the baby loves it. And I was like, all right, we'll figure out. I guess we have a cat now. But any case, like yesterday, Mariah will grab that thing by the tail and try carrying her. And that's why I'm like, oh, it's a good cat. She just manhandles this thing. It's so rough with it. And it doesn't, like, it'll go like, you know, and that, but it doesn't attack her or anything. So it's a good natured cat. She had it she picked it up by the ear at one point. It used to be like, we could be outside and I could be doing all this stuff and she could be doing her own thing. You know, and now I can't because all she does is chase that cat around and tries to pick it up in very bad ways.
Yeah.
And she just will not listen about leaving that cat alone. But yesterday I was weeding the garden beds, and I was like, okay, I haven't heard Mariah in a second. I look at it and she's just like messing around with herself and sorry. She was doing her own thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, where's that cat? and I get all suspicious, and I look at the lid of the cooler that I've got drying because we used it the other day. So I had it open and drying all the residual water out of it, right? And I look, the lid's closed, and I'm like, I bet that cat's in there. And I go over there, and sure enough, the damn cat's in there. It had been like 2 minutes. But I mean, if it had been 10 minutes, that cat would have been dead.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been dead. It
but you wouldn't hot. Know until yeah. you look in the box.
Oh, yeah, that's man. Right. Yeah.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
That's what Schrodinger said.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, that's
that,
right.
It would have definitely been, I would have put yeah. money that 10 minutes, it would have been dead.
A dead cat.
That's a dead cat. I know or a dying a cat. Or a dying yeah, yeah, cat. Yeah. yeah.
We had a cat minimum. Once jump into a car, must have jumped in the car while the kids were getting out because it was in the back floorboard. And it probably was 30 minutes in 100-degree weather. And I walked out and had forgotten something and come back and opened the door. And it was like laid sweating, like panting, just looking at me. And so I like picked it up and got it out of the car and gave, you know, cooled it off yeah. some water and stuff. And it come back to life, you know, but I was like, yeah. I thought
a couple more minutes
watered
though.
It, yeah. yeah. It you grew. Watered it, grew yeah. back, you know, man, fluffed right back up.
Yeah. yeah.
But you imagine like, a, yeah. like, it's not a Yeti, but a, with a lifetime, the cheap Yeti.
Yeah.
Cooler, dude, sealed tight.
It up,
yeah.
yeah,
it's. I mean, it would have.
Only
the,
so much
if
air.
If the lack of oxygen hadn't got it, the 150 yeah. degrees that was inside that thing would have got it pretty quick. Badly. Yeah.
Well, I know I sounded harsh on Miles a minute ago, and I was, but it, he's just like me, dude. He wants to be in the river.
He wants to be.
That's
river,
what man. It is. He is upset anytime he's not in water. At this moment, I'm not sure I've had an enjoyable moment with him in about 2 weeks that he wasn't in the water. Gotcha. I know that sounds
that
terrible.
Dude's like a fish, man.
Yeah,
and it's the most impressive I've ever seen a little like a baby toddler, that thing.
It's
that age.
It's pretty tough for a baby to impress somebody. It's yeah, like, dude, yeah. I know all your tricks.
Yeah, but for one, it helps that mine is so weird about the water right now. I don't know. She wants to be in it. She doesn't. She
yeah, yeah.
She just rather be on a floaty the whole time. I like watched her. Mama, but.
I watched her kind of trip forward and go under.
Oh,
and when she came out, I couldn't help but laugh. I think I apologized to Caitlin a little bit later because it was a serious thing for a second. But her face when she came out of the water,
it's a face of horror.
It was so like it was like like just terror, sheer terror, and I couldn't help but laugh at it. You know,
yeah.
As Patrick's trying to pull her out, like oh.
Whereas Miles falls into the water and comes out laughing. He's
laughing.
Like, oh wow, this is awesome. Yeah.
Which know? Is also bad. He's like laughing like like river water. Yeah, no, he's really good in the water. We got him a life vest now, so we're gonna try that too. Mm. But yeah, he loves it in the water, so that's good news.
Yeah,
you know, I hope it stays that way because Mariah loved the water at one point, and
yeah,
right.
She's never liked water on her face, and it's
oh
like,
yeah,
you know, it's
so when you
in
bathe
the water, at some point your head's gonna go under.
Right? Yeah, when you bathe, are you careful not to get?
I'm not. I'm just. Dude, I just dump water all over her,
right.
you know, but she freaks out. She's crying and screaming and, yeah, just stop, daddy, please stop. And
see, mine can't talk to me, so I can't hear its complaints.
Whereas mama, I think she makes a big deal. She's like, all right, baby, I'm going to wash your hair. It's going to be, I'm about to put water on your head, you know. I know you don't like it, you know. And then does it's like this whole lead up, you know.
Just do it.
And she'd be like, oh, okay. It's not so bad.
Right. What happened?
Yeah.
yeah. No, it's been so we went out. We went Memorial Day camping. That's the weekend you left? Or
yeah, I got back that day.
I
got back that day.
Yeah, because
that was my birthday.
Well, yeah. That's right.
Is that
your
right?
Your birthday is 27th,
oh, yeah,
right?
yeah.
Yeah.
So we went Memorial Day weekend camping and took the kids and all that, and it worked out really well.
Nice.
They slept. You know, they
food
swam,
was great.
The food, all of it. It was a great, fantastic time. We didn't talk about this yet, have we?
No. We haven't. We weren't able to meet. That was my fault last week.
Right.
Yep.
We got to talk about, dude, campsite over.
Oh, man. Yeah, for sure. You know, and we were talking a little bit about it on the radio this morning, but I feel like I'm a pretty good camper, especially like a glamper, all right, you know, where I know what all to bring, and I keep everything together, so it makes it easy. I don't have to like hunt for different things all the time. I mean, I built a kitchen box for camping that has everything, and whenever
that's
it
awesome.
Needs something, I restock it.
Top lifts up, it folds out, cutting board, shelves and units and
coffee
stuffing,
pot
drawers and all that shit.
Whatever
man,
you need, it's
thing.
In there. 100%. Yeah. If you need it, it's in there. And So any case, but I've only got that good by having a lot of bad camps. Now, this is not with my family. This is more with my friends where we forgot, I don't know, food, water, flashlights,
liquor,
alcohol, other things. Yeah.
Cigarettes.
Yeah. All of those have happened where it was a disaster.
Where it's just like there's five cigarettes and six dudes. You start looking at everybody like, I will cut you, dude.
Who's dying? But now, you know, I know I like to string up lights around my campsite. I got tiki torches. Man, light is a very important thing on a campsite when it's night. All right. Yeah. It's pretty critical because you can't, there's no switch to flip.
Patrick's setup, it was cool. It was the best campsite ever, dude. It was sick. Tables, lights, tiki torches, their tents and all that off to the side, the whole common area, chairs everywhere, fire pit going, like all this, like really good setup.
I brought like half a rig of wood to burn, you know, and wood I'd cut myself and I knew it was good and all that. And well, we get out there and there's some people there already set up. They're just putting up their campsite. It's like starting to get dark, 7-ish or so. I've already got like my cooking fire going, which is different than your chilling fire, because at that point you brought the Blackstone, which was a game changer. But
it was incredible.
That first night, you know, we just cooked off the fire, and I look over there at the other campsite. We had Mariah kept seeing that they had a daughter. They had two kids with them. It was a husband and wife and their two kids. And she kept talking about the daughter over there. So I took her over there. I was like, oh yeah, she wants to say hi. And I got the sense right away they were not interested in making new friends or anything like that. And so I was like, all right, we'll go back over to our campsite. Well, it's getting dark. You know, I got the cooking fire going. I'm getting everything together. And I noticed that over there, there's no lights. They have no chairs. They're all just sitting on the picnic table that's like built into the campsite and stuff. And there's the wife and the two kids, and they're kind of doing something. And then there's the man of their family sitting on the bench with his back turned to the table part of it, staring at me like arms bowed, you know, like sitting like, just for you guys, just like he was sitting like this the whole time.
Oh, all right. Kind of like Trump. Trump sits like that.
Yeah, yeah, a little Trumpy. Like, absolutely.
He like leans forward.
But much more relaxed than this guy was. This guy was like,
he was posturing for sure.
He was posturing a little bit and just looking at me the whole time as I'm like getting food together for my family. Like, and I'm looking at him and I'm, you know, I was a little paranoid from I was just having a good time and I was too much in my thoughts. And I was just like, what is this guy over here? He's just staring at me. He's like, oh, he doesn't bring stuff for his family because he goes and he gets it from another campsite.
I don't need to bring it. Just knock you over there.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as my back's turned.
Perfect campsite right next to us.
I made sure I just kept an eye on him the whole time. But it was just getting darker and darker over there. And ours was just getting brighter and brighter. And we're having a nice dinner.
Corn nuts for dinner.
Cold
corn nuts.
Beanie or cold burritos from the gas station or something. I don't even know.
No chairs, no light, no fire, no wood. And he tried.
Yeah, he tried. That's right. Like I saw him, he bust out this like folding bow saw. It's like something you spent a lot of money on, like a camping.
Really good.
Camping lightweight.
He read that on Reddit that you're meant to have one of those.
Exactly, exactly. So he's out there and he's cutting limbs off trees. Like little limbs that are green. For one's illegal. And it's green as shit. It's going to burn, dude. And I saw him, he had like a pile in his fire pit and he's like just lighting him with a lighter. I mean, he gave about five minutes and it, like not even smoke. There was no smoke from it.
That's crazy.
But he was out there for a while trying to cut those
limbs
down. The
sap starts bubbling.
That's right.
And I told my wife, I was like, you know, should I go over there and I should invite him to come have dinner with us? We have plenty of food and stuff. And she was like, no, just leave him alone. I was like, well, should I bring him a little firewood? And she was like, no, don't. You're just going to emasculate the
guy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And you're making him a capon.
You already had.
Yeah. Exactly.
You already proved to his wife he was a beta.
Like,
I guess.
You know, your cuck ass needs some fire. Over there, what's going on?
I might as well have said that.
Hey,
you know,
it would be like Mr. T and Rocky. Hey, lady. Hey, woman. You want a real man?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm just like, sorry, dude. I came prepared to like take care of my family. All right, so don't be like all staring at me like I'm trying to show you up to your family.
This dude just took Ozark Trail tent out of the box.
Yeah,
set it up. No chairs. No firewood. No nothing.
No nothing. Like no
cooler.
It was like. It was about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Dinner was ready. I was like, all right, babe, I'm going to go over there and see if they want to have dinner with us. And I start, I'm like, get ready to go over there. And I look, and it's pitch black. There's nobody sitting out on the bench anymore.
No, just the glint of his eyes at the same spot.
I think they were all in their tent at this point.
Go to bed.
I was like, I mean, if you're at a campsite and there's no lights or anything, no fire, you go to bed. You don't just sit there in the pitch dark, right?
Hearing the rumblings of all their stomachs in the tent.
And so the next day, like, I know it's real early, they left. They rolled out, and they didn't come back till like, later on that afternoon. Everybody else had been there, but there must have been, I think I counted, it was like 10 adults, 7 kids. So it was a crowd of our group, you know? Yeah. And, they finally come back, and he got like camping chairs. So I remember seeing him. He's taking tags off, and he's like putting. It sounds like I was just staring at the guy.
Yeah,
the whole time.
You were.
I was keeping an eye on him. But so, yeah,
awareness.
He's literally putting. He went and got camping chairs, and he's like, "Oh, that's a guy. I see those people over there got camping chairs. That's a good idea.
Good idea.
Let's sit on this terrible bench that's rusting through and stuff."
Yeah.
He set it up, and then at one point some friends of ours came by, and he just went up to him, and he was like, "You guys can have our campsite. We're leaving."
Yeah, I failed. I've given up.
He gave in.
Yeah.
Yep. So
we're leaving before my wife leaves me for a better man.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. I'm sure they went back to Easy Mart, had lunch over there, and got some camping chairs, and then decided, you know what, screw this. This was a fun idea, but it's not for us.
I'd have felt bad for him if he hadn't been mean mugging you.
That's right. You know? And then it's like, dude, experienced camper, you can notice somebody who has no idea what they're doing. You know? And especially when you're bringing your family along, did he go out once or twice before? Like Memorial Day weekend, we're camping, so I'm going to do a couple trial runs in the backyard at least, get a fire going.
As long as it took him to put up the tent, and it was a very simple, small tent, way too small for two adults and like a 5-year-old kid and like a 3-year-old kid, you know.
I'm in camp. I'm sorry.
No, it's the amount of time it took him to put that tent together. I think we had our entire campsite together.
Yeah, yeah.
Lights strung up and tables pulled out and everything else. But
I've been camping since I was a little kid with dad, you know, and I've done it enough. I've gotten fires going like before. I was even in high school and stuff. And out of high school, we planned a big trip for all the friends to go out to this place and camp. And I had one friend who, really smart guy, really, really smart, book smart, book learnings, zero book street.
Learnings.
Yeah, book learnings were all good.
That common sense.
No common sense or street knowledge or forest or bush knowledge.
Yeah,
especially that. So he was the type that he would read. You know, he read all the Wikipedia pages on camping, all the Reddit threads, all that. What do I need to bring? What all is that? So he bought all this new crap. You know, all this new stuff. Way too much crap, you know, and then gets out there and he's like, "Oh, I know how to start a fire. I read the Wikipedia article on how to do it, you know," and I was watching him fail and fail and fail before I like had to go and get it going and all this stuff. And it was just funny to watch, you know, like, so, dude, I don't know where I'm going with that. You can't get a fire going for your family. You're messed up.
Guys have a problem admitting where they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
in many
sure.
cases.
That's why so many die doing.
That's true.
Basic things. they're just like, oh, I can figure it out.
Yeah.
Start.
A simple electrical socket. Something. Yeah, they just electrocuted.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Fall off a roof because they thought they could fix where a shingle had come loose or something. Yeah. It happens all the time. Yeah. The hubris of men, you know, because no man wants to admit that they can't do something.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? Sheer will, hard work. Will just get me through it.
Confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. Until you touch the two wires at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. And what happens then?
I'm a firm believer in hiring a professional.
Me too.
Especially where professional. I'm good at, where danger could incur.
Yeah. I have no problem admitting when I can't do something. Yeah,
absolutely.
So that, like, you know, the things I know how to do, I can get going, you know?
100%.
And Patrick's campsite was amazing. I knew it would be good. The Memorial Day weekend camp was awesome, first of all, having all the kids there and stuff. And then when they all went to bed, it switched. Like, I was always on the other end of that. I was a kid camping with a bunch of parents, and then we would have to go to bed, and then I could hear the fun start.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, we're on the other end now. So it was like, go to bed, you know, go to bed, time you know. Bed. Hey. Lay down. Yeah. Lay down.
I don't want to hear another voice in that tent.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all of us are exhausted. All the adults are just exhausted at this point. So it's not even like anything great's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just struggling to try to stay up till midnight or something respectable.
Passing the tequila bottle around. Just trying to feel young again for a second. Yeah,
absolutely.
I was sick. I got sick again, you know, and was like, just feeling horrible, like so spaced out that night, you know, hitting the tequila bottle all night, sick
medication,
and all that. I felt like trash when I woke up. We got breakfast going and all that, and after breakfast I was like, dude, I'm leaving. There's no reason for me to stay here anymore. I'm just not feeling good. And then it was like, oh, we found this cool swimming spot. So I'm like, all right, we'll go down there, get miles in. I jumped in the river and like came out a different man. Like I was like, I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere, you know. Oh man, a great, great camping time.
Yeah. I'd say one of the highlights for me was cooking breakfast that morning. Cooked so much. I don't know how many, like 40 pancakes or something.
Yeah.
All these eggs and bacon and sausage and all this stuff. And I was like, there's no way that I've cooked way too much stuff. And when I went to clean up afterwards, there was like two pancakes left and a little dollop of eggs where somebody was like, oh, I'm not taking the last bit. And,
yeah.
Like, holy crap, man.
Yeah, we crushed that breakfast.
I guess if I could bring it up, because I just don't get to bring it up and before it's any too distant. One of the highlights for me personally that weekend was I saved two people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
I guess I hadn't done that before,
thinking
about it. But,
but ruined
not two people's at once.
He saved two people's lives but ruined a marriage of a woman watching his dad or watching his husband not be a man.
We were – it was Tyler – Allie, Miles,
better she learn early.
Again, I'm just like wrecking marriages left and right.
Yeah.
Like the campsite next to me.
Yeah.
The wife of the two people who I saved. And the wife / mother of the two people that I saved.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's who you were referencing.
No, I was referencing the campsite, but them too, I guess.
I'm just like a home wrecker with my masculinity on full, exuding out of every pore.
Yeah.
sorry about that.
Stinky.
It's very stinky.
We rolled up to the falls where
Costaw
Falls, where it is, I mean, there's little pockets to swim at, but for the most part, it is a raging, rushing
Skull Crusher.
Old cattle word for Skull Crusher, right? And this is the spot that obviously they were talking about when they mentioned Skull Crusher. Like, there's sections where, like, this is the washing machine. This is the devil's armpit. This is like the brain, the brain
blender.
Buster, the blender. Where it's like on the map, the official map of it is like, do not go down this river unless you're extremely experienced kayaker. And there's people with safety lines along the way. You bust your head in no time. Well, we're one of the little pockets, one of the little ponds or just swimming holes along the way. And it was you, Tyler. And I was like, you're like, oh man, there's something going on. There was all of a sudden all this commotion. People like standing up, like hollering down one of the series of cascades.
Mm-hmm.
And my initial thought was like, oh, somebody lost their Crocs or their tube or something like that. Quickly realized, oh, I'm pretty sure somebody just went down it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like 6 foot drops, 12 foot drops. It just roars through there. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to get battered if you go down it. And I was just like, I don't know. I was like 1.5 sheets to the wind at this point.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I'm going. And I'm
Patrick
running.
Gets up, darts across these rocks. I mean,
Super
this,
Patrick.
Yeah. I stood with concern.
Yeah. Like, what's going on?
I'll hold your towel.
In my mind, it was like the most, I was like running, I was like jumping from rock to rock. And I know I did fall and slip and it took me a second to get up. And other people were going, but I could see them like dropping next to me. Like they were falling too. And then I finally got to the end of the rocks where I couldn't see any I couldn't jump on any more rocks, and I could see it was a little kid. He must have been like 10 years old, and he's just like, his head's just kind of bobbing up and down in the water. And I was like, dude, I wasn't sure if he was knocked out or if he just couldn't swim. And I knew it's deep right there, way too deep for that kid to touch. And he was already going towards the next series of cascades, and that's even rougher. And I just like, I looked down, there was like rocks under the water, but I could see one pocket. And I was like, I jumped in the pocket, started swimming. There was one guy who jumped in right after. Only later did I realize he had one leg. He was doing, he was the only guy that was keeping up with me. But in any case, man, I feel like I'm a very fast swimmer, and I would just rock it
out.
Where
was dad?
So I'm getting to the kid, and I see another guy that I had just come down the Cascades.
Malachi!
Yeah. he had followed the kid down the Cascades. Yeah. Terrible decision. No, you get out, and then you try to get ahead, right? Because you don't want to go. The same thing's going to happen to you. You're just going to get battered and stuff. Yeah. And I swim out, and he gets to the kid before I do, but he's like panicking and freaking and yelling. And I grab the kid with one hand, and I grab him with the other, and I'm like, all right, guys, we're fine. We're fine. I'm just talking to him like, I'm going to swim you guys back to shore. You're totally fine. I'm not going to let you go. Yeah. And he's like, I can't stand. I can't breathe. He's like, I can't swim. I can't stand. I can't, and the kid's silent.
I can't fulfill my wife. I can't please her.
Kid doesn't say a damn word.
I can't hold a job. I can't.
Yeah. I can't perform in the bedroom. Yeah,
yeah, too much debt. Yeah. Just spilling his guts to
you. Yeah. He was panicking. I kept being like, Dad, are you okay? And he's like, I can't touch. I can't touch.
I'm wearing ladies' underwear.
But I just talked to him as calmly as can be because, again, you try to save somebody who's drowning, there's a very good chance you're going to drown with them, too.
Yeah.
You know? And I had him in such a way that I knew they weren't going to take me down with them. But I was like, you guys just stay calm. I'm going to do all the swimming for you. And I swam them back up the shore. And they just laid out like a couple of people who were, I mean, they were exhausted. And Dad was beat up. I saw him later. He was all like, he had a limp. And he couldn't walk straight. He was battered going down those Cascades. Yeah. And that was it. I got him up on shore. And I was like, you guys are all right? And they're like, yeah, we're fine. And I just went back and cracked another beer.
Yes. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Adrenaline rush.
Like, nobody thanked Patrick. No, it was a big family, and they were all just like,
they walked, they thanked.
The dad thanked you.
Yeah, and some
the guy you saved.
Yeah.
The guy you saved, thank you. But, like, the grandma, like, all the people that were there were just like, ugh. Like, I don't know. I thought they were rude.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Having just saved your life.
Right.
My brother did. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I watched with concern. All
this hot chick, who I assume was, like, in her 20s, okay, like, walked by. And I was like, hey, did you hear about the hero at the lake here? Yeah. And just wanting you to know. And I didn't say nothing to her.
Yeah. But. She was probably 14.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. He's like, you know where the heroes swim? Because that's where I need to be now.
Where's the hero campsite? Over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great, though. Yeah. Literal hero. Literal.
Nice. Thank you.
In the water and saved two people from skull and crushing.
Didn't drown myself.
Yeah, yeah.
That was because a lot of people would be
pissed if you had drowned.
Yeah,
right.
Me too.
Yeah, for the sake of them.
That's the decision you make, Vic. You drowned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go basically, save if Patrick people. Wasn't there, there'd be like ambulance, the whole thing would be happening and there'd be sirens and stuff. Two people would have died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to jump. I don't trust myself enough to jump into the skull crusher, dude.
Like, Dad, I mean, he did the right thing. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he just did about it. He went about it the wrong way, right? And he got battered. And when if you can't swim, you can't save somebody who's drowning. Okay. Right. That's a big thing. And I mean, I've never,
why get in a crazy rushing river if you can't swim?
Well, they were definitely not locals or else they would have respected that section of the river more.
And there's these little pockets, but you get too close. You start to feel,
you can't fight
pull.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You start to feel the pull into like the central rushing part. So the kid probably just went down that.
Yeah. And you know how much rain we've got. So everything's a little higher. Yeah. It didn't seem like it was real high, but it definitely we've been a couple of times since, it's definitely much lower. Yep. So yeah, the river was up because from all the rain that we had gotten, and they didn't respect it enough, and kid got swept down.
I've just always heard, don't be a hero. I've always heard that.
Yeah,
So
only in New York City when somebody's mugging somebody.
Okay,
else.
All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, you hear all the time somebody like went to rescue. When we were in Dolphin Island last year, they have riptides are real bad, and you remember one? I don't know if you remember one point, like a bunch of ambulances. There were constantly ambulances, but at one point, like a bunch went by, and what it was is a brother. This one guy got swept out in a riptide, and his brother went out there to save him, and they both drowned.
Mm-hmm.
They both freaking drowned. It happens all the time where somebody tries to rescue somebody that's drowning, and they both end up drowning.
Mm. Yeah, the best way to notice a riptide from the surface is if you see the waves break outside of the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
So the riptides will be pulling hard enough that the waves will actually break into the riptide. So you'll see like a smooth
it's
spot.
It's like a channel.
Yeah, it looks like a channel. It's like, why are the waves not coming in here? Well, it's a riptide, right?
Yeah, that's because you don't want to be there.
Yep.
And
if you do get pulled out into a riptide, swim sideways, horizontal with
that's
the...
That's right.
Yeah, you don't try to swim back to the beach. You swim that way because you'll get out of the riptide at some point.
Yeah.
Be swept back into shore like a normal wave.
Right, right. Well, man, that was what we did. Cruise. What happened?
Oh, cruise.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, the cruise.
Anybody jump off? Disappear?
No, nothing crazy like that, really. This was actually a smaller boat. It was kind of a little more tame.
A little more intimate.
Yeah. I took three boys, Jackson and two of his friends. It was their senior trip kind of thing.
Oh, that's right.
All three seniors. Yeah. So it was kind of cool. When we went to Mexico, because in Mexico at 18 you can buy alcohol, and they're all 18. So you know, we told their parents, we said we're gonna let them if it's cool with you or whatever. But you know, we'll make sure they get back on the boat safe. All that stuff. So we let them. That was pretty cool. They got to buy their first beers and
how'd they handle it.
I'm good.
They did good, actually. I was very surprised. I think they've all done it before.
Oh, well.
You know?
Most assuredly.
Absolutely. But it was definitely handled a lot better than what I thought it would have been originally. So, but no, they did good. They had fun. We had fun. I had fun. I had a good time. Didn't win in the casino as well as I'd hoped, would hope, but immediately got another offer when I got back. So I did play enough.
Oh, nice.
Did the missus went too, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it was myself, the missus, the sister-in-law,
we see you.
The who dat, and then the three boys.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then, like, was it so smaller boat, but was it still Bacon Mountain? Still
it was all the stuff,
buffets, all the stuff.
Yep. Do the elegant dining?
Yes, we did a couple nights
separate
of that.
That's almost enough where maybe they give you a separate table, or were you mixed in with some other folks?
We got separate tables every time.
Okay. Mingling with other.
Yeah, we didn't have to sit with other parties this time.
I mean, that is good or bad. I mean, we've had some fun with it. We've also sat with some people who are like, oh my God, we can't stand you. And then also, like, you get, Jay, you have been with people who just jump off boats at some
place. That's fun.
Well, because they can't fight with their spouse anymore.
Right. When it was just Laura and I, we shared tables like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we had a good time. It was generically, we've been on this particular trip before going to all these locations, but we left out of New Orleans, which a little different.
So the stops and stuff, did you do any like ATVing or ziplining or any crap like that?
No, we just went to the beach at Cozumel.
It's
the
only thing to do.
Now in Belize is where all the great fakes are made, or all the replicas are made. We usually buy you a Coach bag or a Gucci bag or something, you know, spend $25 on something that costs $2,500 sitting in the States or whatever.
Cozumel, but man, that one's I found is tough to find a good beach at. I've been three times, and it's just we finally found a decent one on the last one. It was cool. Is I could see these things like out in the water that look like when the surf would come in, you could see like it looked like a little rock square, tiny little square out there. And I finally got the guts up to go swim out there, and it's freaking pyramids under the water, like Aztec pyramids that are all built up. They're not giant ones. They're like 30, 40 feet or something, go all the way to the bottom, but they go right to the surface. You could literally stand on top of them. It looks like you're standing on top of the water.
That's cool.
And that was one of those playas. You know, they got all the different playas.
Right.
But I guess I don't know if there's any natural beaches there, but from what I understand, they're all like man-made. And we were at one time where they were making one next to us. And, you know, you think like making a beach, oh, you're going to have all kinds of like front loaders and backhoes and all this stuff. No, it was five Mexican guys with a wheelbarrow and what looked like the screen door ripped off of a house. And they were just shoveling the ground, or what you would call a beach, and shoveling it onto the screen, shaking it, and what the closest thing you could consider to sand would fall down into the wheelbarrow, and then they'd dump it out next to the beach, and then the tide would come and sweeps all the shit back into the water. It was like, I was like, at that rate, dude, it's going to take up 1,000 years to
build. It's already taken 2,000 to get where we're at now.
Yeah, exactly. It was literally five Mexican guys, like a box of Coronas next to them. I mean, I was kind of like, this is awesome. This is how the world should be, you know, like what we see here, you know?
Yeah, they
no industry multiple about them.
No, they have multiple beaches that you can, but you got to take a little taxi from the
They drive crazy too, don't they?
There's
no seat belts in them.
They have no interest whatsoever in like yelling at the driver next to them, you know? They just get in with each other. They're right up against each other. They drive right next to each other. There's no problems. No.
Love those guys. So every single one of them has been a treat to
America
to ride
could
with.
Learn driving around in Mexico.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because
you're getting there going. You're going. It's fast braking, fast acceleration, very close driving, not a single anger.
You go on that long pier and you got to go through the duty free shop.
Yeah.
Or you can, there's a little, it's really hard to see, but you can go around, but they actually, it looks like they force you through the duty free shop.
Yes.
And then, and then you're going to like buy crap to
baubles and bric-a-brac and bottles of alcohol. No, you can't do that, right?
Back on the ship.
Right.
You can like put them in a bag or something, right? You can like get them.
You can check them, but then you don't get them until like early in the morning that you get off the boat.
Yeah. Oh,
there's
something. Right.
And maybe there's a limit or something. I know it's changed every time because we always get a little something. It seemed like it was more lenient on our first one than it has been on the previous two.
On the cruise, do you ever get the alcohol package?
Yeah,
or you
we got it.
Buy the drinks.
Well, used to, I just bought the drinks because I don't drink enough to you know.
Merit. Yeah, you got to drink a lot.
You got to drink almost all of them to really make the money up for an alcohol package.
And to drink that much, you might as well have just stayed home and got drunk.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to know.
Yeah.
You just watch the bow cam or whatever.
But no, because it was the casino package that we took that they offered me, it came with a boat drinking package or whatever. So the last day actually I tried really hard and
to drink
to get them all to get them all, and because you only get 15 drinks
per day,
a day with that.
Is that beers all mixed in 15 things?
I think it's like, I think a beer counts as maybe half or something. So it's your hard liquors are one, and you can even get the twos with a like a double shot or you know. But yeah, so most of them are a point, I guess you say. But yeah, so I tried pretty hard. I got my 15 on the last day, but six of those were beers that were in the fridge at back at the room because I didn't. So I would just have them keep bringing them.
Yeah.
While I'm rolling dice on the. Yeah. And then I would, because there's a little shelf, I'd collect six of them, carry them up to my room and put them in the thing for later or whatever.
Right.
And then the boys ended up stealing them from me.
I remember one, I don't think this happened on the last one, but on one of them, when you got a beer, they'd open it for you and then give it to you, which ruins it. Then.
Some do.
Yeah.
Some do, but. If you tip them well enough, they won't.
The last one I went on. I finally got wise enough. I went to one of the bars. Yeah, they got multiple ones, but one on the Lido deck. And I went up to the guy, and I was like, you've been working for Carnival for a while. And he's like, yeah, five or six years. And I was like, dude, I was on this ship last year. You remember you and I were talking? They got, like, the name tags that have their country. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, we were talking about, the Philippines and how great you like it. And, how you're helping doing this for your family and stuff, right? And, I mean,
that's
he wasn't going to argue with
story.
Me at that point.
It's almost
he's
every
just
story.
Like, Girl, yeah, exactly.
Really
almost every
sad
story.
Stories, I imagine.
And so he's automatically like, oh, this guy thinks he knows me? I don't remember him. But I'm just going to roll with it because that probably means he's going to tip me, and I'd give him a $5 here or there, always a couple of dollars with every drink. And dude, he was hooking me. I get the Long Island iced tea, because that
it's
I feel like
best,
the bang
best,
for your buck kind of thing. And I mean, he was, I remember getting them and they would fill it up and then like, here's the Coke.
Yeah.
And he would fill it up and here's the Coke.
Yeah.
Just a little for color, for a splash of color. And shots, he was just, he was like, or they put him in a shot glass and then pour him in there. And he was pouring it up and letting it drip out of the shot glass and then dumping it in there. And dude, hooked. I got so drunk on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it,
little
man.
Pro tip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But
I
will say,
up front and then dollars with each. And
I will say, if you don't mind gambling, if you do enjoy it, as entertainment, that's
rewards,
the best place to get the best option, the best offers, both on the boat as well as the gambling offers as well as the drink offers.
Absolutely, that's really.
And I always that's the thing I learned. Anytime you make a bet, make it a two-way bet. You can make yours as a $5 bet, and there's the
bet on the dealer.
For the dealer, there's a $1 bet. So it's a $6 bet instead of a $5 bet.
Right.
But there's been multiple times I've been playing there for a couple hours, and they've hit these like bonuses that they play. And you've got three or five people that also bet for the dealer. So you got $3 or $5 on there, and it's 300-1.
Yeah.
So they just made $1,500 in tips off that hit, So.
Dang.
So it can.
It's like, easy, buddy. I'm going to take that back. Actually.
Yeah. Well, he had $10 on it, so he got $3,000 off that hit.
Yeah,
So, but I don't know. It's It's one of those things where some of those guys, they have a lot of money to gamble.
They just take that money at the end of the day, too. They clean it up. Like, they wash them out. Like old Cornish gold mine workers that would get sprayed. Their hair would get washed out.
They have to do it nude, like, so they can't stuff
exactly,
dollars.
Yeah, exactly. So all the gold would trickle down and they'd collect it. Yeah, it's like that. The Carnival Cruise Lines, they hose them down, all the workers, at the end of the day.
Yeah, you got to go like this money. So you don't show chips under your sleeve. Yeah,
that's crazy.
But now, there's every single one of the dealers, I get to know them because I'm there just about every day, at least an hour or so playing $100, $200, something like that. Sometimes if it's hitting really good, there one night I played for 4 or 5 hours and I made like $800 that night,
Nice.
But, I get to know all of them, and eventually, every one of them finds out that I'm a radio DJ. So they're all getting the website. Oh, can I listen online? So it's pretty funny. A lot of them have. So anyway, I told them about this podcast too. So if any Carnival people are listening, what's up?
Shout out. We love you.
Blink twice if you need help.
I'm sure they all do. I've read some stories.
But there's a lot of stories. A lot of the ones like the for example, I always get a massage on the boat. Mm. And almost always she is got her family at home somewhere. And she's doing exactly what she said. She's sending money home or she's saving it to, and then she'll get time off for a month or whatever till the next run or whatever, and then so she'll go home.
Any nice treats to elicit tips out of you? Or?
No, they don't. No? They don't offer that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they think you're a cop.
They probably do. I look very coppy.
You could be a cop.
I look like an undercover cop. You know what I mean? It's like I look like the guy that poses as a youth director, but he's really a cop.
So every time you get a massage, you just say, "I just got out of jail."
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're good, dude.
Yeah, that's funny. No, you got to go on deeper into Mexico to get those.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Actually, the last time I went to Vegas, we were talking to the cab driver. He was taking us to a location, and we're like, because he said when he gets there, he's going to walk in, and they will give him a, finder's fee, basically. And he said that's really how the cabbies make money there in Vegas. They don't really make a whole lot of money actually driving. But if you take them to certain locations, they'll give them the cabbies like $10, $20 finder's fee for bringing
you in. Where the fun at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he said, I said, talking about getting a massage, I was like, so, are there, it's Vegas. There's got to be those places you can get the extra special massage. He goes, I don't know any that don't. I was like, really? You never, if you've never asked for a happy ending, you don't know how to.
Yeah.
It was like, I think you just like scoot towards there.
That's all you do. Nobody asks.
I swear you've said that before. Yeah. Maybe scoot, on this podcast.
Well, like they'll give you a little flick. Somewhere,
a little bit of a little ball tap,
a sensitive ball tap.
Yep.
And then depending on how you react to that is how they'll. Yeah. So if you go like, jump away, that's where it all ends and stops. And if you kind of nuzzle down,
in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, we got what do they call them? Couples massages.
Yeah,
where you like go sit in the sauna for a little bit, and then y'all go into the room together and you massage up. I got like 4 or 5 ball taps in that one. I was like, dang.
Well, a couple massages, you're both getting jerked off, most likely. Most likely. I mean, that's I would imagine why, you want these strange Chinese women to, under the gun to jerk us off.
I've only had one massage by a dude, and that was in Colorado Springs, and I was hoping not. No ball taps.
Yeah, no ball taps?
No ball taps.
He pegged you as a straight man. Wait, that sounded wrong.
He was a huge, like, jacked Jamaican dude, too.
Oh,
it was the craziest experience I've ever had in my life. Never again.
Yeah. Batty boy.
Yeah, they make for them in the butt.
Yeah, never again. I'll just put it that way.
Never again.
Women only from here on out.
Yeah. Well, shoot, man. We're under the gun as well, so we got to roll. Go ahead.
I did have one last thing with your new, interest things happening. I have one thing that has been filed now. It's on the federal government's filed. It's public knowledge. So I'm not going to make any statements about the name of yet, but I'm in the works now. It's on federal file. I guess it's official. I'll be buying a couple more radio stations.
Yeah. Amazing. For a second there, I was like, federal, it's on the file, dude. Like, what'd you do?
I broke some rules, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't been paying shit. No. Yeah. But yeah, so.
I'm going to have to talk to my neighbors and register. And
we'll the be, empire grow.
Yeah, we'll be adding to the Southeast Oklahoma Radio Group.
Heck, I love it. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I love it. There yeah, we'll talk more about that. Yeah. And when does that, like, do we get, you know, when does that start going?
It'll be a summer announcement, summertime announcement. Nice, so, nice. Yeah.
All right.
Probably August.
Is this still going to be the headquarters or?
Yeah, no, there's another location that'll be purchased. It'll actually comes with a large amount of property that comes with it too. So nice. The wife and I possibly looking to develop it a little bit maybe and
yeah, nice. Yeah, put up yeah. a slum hotel.
No, no. Yeah. Like she's thinking a coffee shop. She's got a really good idea about some okay. drive-through place. So no, all I right. better not say that. Cut that out. No.
Yeah, cheap rental units.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, cheap rental units.
Sports bar. Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Or cheap to build, but yeah, but
expensive to live in.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. 100
boom. I'm gonna be a slum lord before I die. Yeah,
that's what I want. Awesome. Well, we'll do something else next week, and hopefully everybody's a little bit less busy.
More in the fluid. 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
And if we want to do this on a Monday or Tuesday,
figuring that out.
Next week, Tuesday's bad because I got school board meetings and that junk. But
yeah. We'll get back to it.
Next Monday and Tuesday and Thursday are probably
naturally. So Wednesday morning it is.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah. No matter what, we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Goodbye.